right. Are we there? Oh. Oh, yeah. Now I know what y'all go through to listen to me on this. Yeah, down, yeah, big time. Yeah, turn me down. Turn me down. Turn me down. Like I was in high school dating. Turn me down. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, okay. You got to work a little bit with me now. Come on. Yeah, I did. They did have high schools back in the day. No. They just some things that get cut to the floor. And we just leave them right there. All right, anyhow, we got a lot to cover. And I know it's going to be eye-opening because Mark, this is just blowing me away. I was texting him about it. I'm like, surprising. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity we have to gather. We thank you for your word and the truth therein. We thank you for all the blessings that come through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us, that by our faith and trust in him, our sins are forgiven. We have the Spirit of God in us and seals us until the day we leave out of this present evil world. And then we have a home. We have a home far above all heavens. And we look forward to our final resting spot to be with you. But until that time, as we go through this world, we know that the devil is in control of so many things and brings so much trouble upon us that we want to take this time and this opportunity to open our hearts to you and lift up those prayer requests, the things that are weighty upon us, and just lift them up to you and pray that you'd search our hearts and answer those requests according to your wisdom and your grace and your power and your will. And we trust in that. And we give you thanks and praise for loving us and accepting us as we are. But we are in Christ, and that's the comfort that we have. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Someone was talking about when is this going to end. I don't know if it was just wanting to know or like it was more like when is this going to end. You know, just don't know how to take those things sometimes, right? When is it going to end? That's what I want to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And the question that I've had starting this off is more or less, what was it that killed Christ? What was the reason? What was it? I'm just making that statement again to warm us up to the thought of what this series is about. And we're going to conclude with that. We're going to conclude with the answer. I've danced all around it. If you paid attention, you may have a heads up as to the answer already, but we haven't gotten directly into it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and there's a reason why I've been reading this every week since we started this, and when we draw the conclusion to this, then you'll go, that's why you've been reading it. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. We'll read verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weakened is defiled. So as you see, Paul is addressing the Corinthians here about idols, offering sacrifices, eating unto idols, and things of that nature. So it's safe to say that at Corinth in Greece, the Greeks were really into idol worshiping. So we're going to just let that stew on the back burner till we get to the end of the series, which I don't know when that'll be, to answer your question of when will this end. I think it was the wording. But we'll revisit this towards the end of everything. So with that said, let's go into the fun, okay? Turn to Zechariah. Now, we covered this last week, but this is going to be a good jump off for us to give you some idea of the things that we're dealing with and what we're talking about. Zechariah is having a vision here and sees something that's awfully strange to him. And in Zechariah chapter 5, two books before Matthew, in verse 5, Zechariah 5:5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their semblance through all the earth. You may want to make note of that. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then I said to the angel that talked with me, Whether do these bear the ephah? In other words, where is it going? And he said unto me, To build in a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established, and set there upon her own base. And so we see here that he has this vision. Zechariah is told to look up. He sees an ephah. And as we covered, the ephah was a container that kind of had a squattiness to it, something like this. And there was a description of some type of a talent of lead. So whatever he saw in the heavens there was kind of a squatty container, may have had some type of rim around it, and it was of metallic substance. You can kind of let your imagination go and think of what he saw there. And it's interesting to note at the end of verse 6, he said, This is their semblance through all the earth. So I know that there were multiple of these that was in the earth. This is what they look like. And the conclusion of it in verse 8 is interesting. And he said, This is wickedness. And so consequently, these women come out, and I don't have a grasp on the entire thing, but they take this thing, it takes up, and off it goes, and it went into the land of Shinar. Now, from last week, where is that? Babylon. That's in Babylon. And according to verse 11, it shall be established and set there upon her own base. So there's a base camp over there. It's set up over there. There's something wicked in Babylon, which is today Iraq, just to let you know. Now, that's kind of like painting a scene of what we have going on in the times that we're about to read. Some of the things that have been happening way prior to where we're going to read, through the time of what we're going to read, and they carried on a period of time. But this thing in Zechariah should kind of make you aware of what's going on there. Now, with that said, turn to Genesis and look back in Genesis chapter 13. This is going to be a time between Abram or Abraham and Lot. Do y'all know who Lot is in relationship to Abraham? Does anybody know? Jackie hadn't been here in a long time and she aces it. Sorry.
What was it?
Nephew. It's Abraham's brother's son. They're related. That's going to play big. They're related. They're blood. They're kinfolk. What happens is Abraham's very wealthy. Lot is wealthy. They have a lot of cattle and different animals. They need grazing ground. They're burning the ground. And so Abraham says, look, you take your people, and what we're going to do is we're going to spy out this land. They go up in a high area, and you pick out what you want, Lot, and I'll take the other. So Lot then makes his decision in verse 10 of Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So Lot decided to go into the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked out there, he saw the plain of Jordan, and that's very interesting. He sees the cities, and he's caught up with the cities. He wants to go to the city. Abraham, since he chose that, looks the other way. And a Canaan, by the way, it's promised to him, and he goes that way. So, with that said, and by the way, Lot and Abraham are comparisons. Lot is a comparison of your flesh. Abraham is a comparison of the spirit. And you follow that through, and you see the trouble Lot got in, and you see the deliverance of Abraham. It works right in there. Now, Lot chose to go to the Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's check out the report here about Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now watch. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you not to answer, because I know where this will go. And I plan to give you a different perspective on the answer to this question. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities round about? Yeah, but why specifically? Don't get ahead of me. You know the religious answer. What are all the fundamentalist preachers preaching out there? Homosexuality. We're going to find something out here. So we've got their establishment. Abram went to Canaan. Lot and his family went to Sodom and Gomorrah. So look in Genesis. Turn over to Genesis chapter 18. They're settled into their new locations now. And let's read what goes on here. In Genesis 18, and there's so much to read in these storylines that we're just not going to read chapter after chapter after chapter. So I'm just going to grab what I think is needed for the context of the study. Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And so Abraham invites him in. It turns out being the Lord, which leads to a good question. How did he know he was the Lord? I mean, did he wear a tag that was WWJD on it? What would Jesus do? You know? I mean, what told Abraham that that was the Lord?
Well, he'd been communicating. He knew his name.
Well, he's standing there. He's standing there. Paul got words from the Lord, but never saw the Lord, right? I come to what? Visions and revelations. Now you've got the Lord standing right there. How did he know he was the Lord? We'll examine that too. A lot of questions, right? So anyhow, he comes to visit Abraham. Remember, Abraham is in Canaan. He's over in Canaan. And so he welcomes them in. Sarah prepares a meal. They have a meal together. And this is what he has to say. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with him to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now watch, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. If not, I will know. And so they ultimately leave. And where are they going?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Who's over there?
Lot.
Oh, yeah, Lot. Okay. So here we are with Lot. We're going to do a little bit of reading now. So bear with me. Genesis 19. We're over there and with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord and his others, we're going to find out who they are, go visit Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 1. And there came two
angels.
Make note. To Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So here's angels. And they come up there and meet him. Lot recognizes them, falls on his face, and welcomes them. In verse 2, he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And it shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, has thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, The men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto him, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Now is magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, this city is near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. All right, we'll just hold up there. Kind of gives you the idea of what took place there. But let's review a few things that I've read as soon as I come out of my stupor of reading. It's like you got to get refocused here. All right, first off, Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom, and two angels come up to him, and he recognizes that they're angels. I mean, by the fact that he ran to greet them and he fell down on his face, a little bit like Abraham did when the Lord came and visited him. And so he invites them into the house. We see that. He cooks for them. They can stay the night. But there's a crowd that gathered around. What's interesting is, let's see, in verse 5, it says, And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? So they saw Lot with these two angels that came into Lot's house. And when they addressed Lot, they said, Where are the men? So what do these men look like? I mean, what do these angels look like? But they're angels. Interesting, right? So then how did Lot know they were angels? How did Lot know they were of the Lord?
He called them strange flesh.
Who called who?
Lot.
Called?
Oh, well, the town said, We want the men of strange flesh.
Where?
Over there.
Who?
Okay.
Well, you're on to something. You're kind of getting ahead of me. You're on to something. Seriously. These are angels. They're men, but they are angels. It doesn't change the fact. Their appearance are as men, but they are angels. So Susan is on to something that we're going to see in just a minute. So maybe my study doesn't have all the bang that it should have had. Just bill me for it, whatever. What's interesting to note, in that city, you had Lot, you had his wife, you had the two daughters and the two husbands, right? A total of seven. The Lord did not spare them for seven. He told Abraham he'd spare it for 10. There wasn't 10 righteous there. So out of the seven, how many were spared the wrath of God?
Three.
Three. Lot and his two daughters. The wife did what? She turned back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. And so consequently, only three got out of there. So Why were the men of Sodom so determined to go after those men? I mean, just think about it. You've got cities here, Sodom and Gomorrah, and I believe there are like five cities surrounding this whole plain that the Lord's going to destroy. It's populated with people. Why these two? Why was there almost like an entire city coming out to go and get these two angels?
Because they were
just think about it. They already had their own guys.
Yeah.
What was the determination? I mean, they were going to knock the door down. They were going to go in there and tear the place up to get to these angels who were men. And I thought, why? You've got your own people out there to busy yourself with. Why? Well, we know it was exceedingly wicked, full of wickedness. There's something interesting in your Bible that I want you to see. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Paul had a lot of problem with the Corinthians. One of them, in the context of 1 Corinthians 15, is they questioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection in general, but pertaining to Jesus Christ. So he addresses this. Look in verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. In other words, what you put in the ground, a seed's not going to grow. A tree will grow. A plant will grow. So what you plant is not exactly what's coming up. Now he's talking about the body. What's going to go in the ground is not the same that's going to come up. Verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, to every seed his own body. Now watch. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. And he goes through the differences in different things. In verse 39, not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men. How many different types of flesh of men is there?
One.
There's only one. Everybody in this world has one type of flesh. Doesn't matter what color you are, we all have the same flesh. It's pertinent to mankind and mankind only. Because then he goes and he says there's another flesh of beasts. So you have all the wild beasts. There's different flesh for the wild beasts. Another of the fishes, and another of birds. So everything, animal world and human world, has its own flesh. Man has one kind of flesh. It's all the same, and it's in reference to man. Man has the same type flesh. No matter who you are, where you are, we all have the same type flesh. I want to emphasize that. Because there's something we're going to see that Susan kind of led into, and we're going to look at it right now. Turn to Jude, hang a right, right before good old Revelation. In Jude, It's all verses there, so there's no chapter to turn to. Jude is writing about the wrath of God coming on different events and situations. And so he addresses them, for instance, in verse 5. Jude, verse 5, right before Revelation. I will, therefore, put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Well, we know where they were destroyed, right? And in the Red Sea. And the angels, which kept not their first estate. You remember we talked about that a few weeks back? It was the angels that the devil persuaded to rebel against the Lord. There's a third of them that rebelled against the Lord, and they didn't hold that estate with the Lord anymore. Once they rebelled, they were kicked out of the heaven, for above all heavens, they were booted out. So the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Well, there are some that got caught up in the wrath of God, and we're not going to deal with that. So, but they're being held up for judgment. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and here it is, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Strange flesh. How many types are there of the flesh of man? So your flesh is not strange to me, and mine is not strange to you. Why? There's only one type of flesh of man. But when you go to Jude, he gives you a little reference back there of what happened and what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were going after what? Strange flesh. So, how did Abraham know that that was the Lord? How did Lot know that those two angels were angels? Because they look like men. They didn't have the flesh of men. It doesn't say what they had, but they didn't have the flesh of men. They're angelic. So they had some type of body to give them a human feature, but there was something about their flesh that was just different. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's in the scripture. If it is, I've never seen it. But there's something that was different about their flesh, and it's called strange flesh. You run a reference of strange in your Bible, you know what you'll find? You'll find strange gods. You'll find strange fire. You'll find strange lands. You'll find strange people. You'll find strange incense. You'll find strange women. You know what it means? Different. Think about it. The flesh they went after was different. You see, this wasn't the first round for these guys in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was already the angels that left their habitation and came down into this world. They're over there in Genesis 6. Let's go look. They've been here before, and they're coming back. In Genesis 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. He is also what?
Flesh.
Okay. yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after them, when the sons of God, who did not keep their first estate, they rebelled against God, the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what happened? Those angels, which have strange flesh, came in and took women of this earth, had sex, and then had offspring. They were hybrids. They were crossed from a satanic, evil, strange flesh, angel, and the human flesh. And they got mixed up, all in their DNA, all in their chromosomes. You go check out Goliath and his brothers, the Philistine area on the Mediterranean coast, southern part of Israel, was filled with giants. Goliath, and he had four brothers. There's five of them over there. But they had giants in the land in those days. And guess what? The giants had six fingers and six toes. The genetics were changed on them. They all had it. They all had that cross between the angelic force and the human force, and the children produced were giants. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to take the creation of man, Adam and Eve, go forth and multiply and plenish the earth and subdue it. He is trying to come down with his angelic host, impregnate the seed of man with his seed to bring forth corruption upon the earth. And he did it in Genesis 6. And it got so bad, it repented the Lord that he ever created man. So he drew up a conclusion. I'm just going to destroy the whole shooting match. Take them all out. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah, being warned of God of the wrath to come, is instructed to build an ark because the flood's coming. By the way, there's no record of rain before this account in Genesis. So him and his boys are out there constructing this ark according to the blueprint of God, which is important to follow the blueprint of God, hence Paul's doctrine today. And so they're building the ark, and the people of the land come up there and mock them and belittle them and make fun of them. The Lord's going to destroy it. You might want to consider getting in it. And sure enough, on that day, they got in it. Lord shut the door on them. And here it comes. And that whole creation there was destroyed. But where we're reading with Sodom and Gomorrah, this is after the flood. Yep. And guess who shows up again? The giants. So what happened? After the flood, the devil continues his program. Because remember, Abraham was promised a land grant by God Almighty, him and his seed. When the seed of Abraham was in Egypt, how long were they in Egypt? 400 years, says A.V. Mann. They were in land. They were slaves to the Egyptians for 400 years. In that time, the devil was busy. He was doing in the lands what he did in Genesis 6. Because when Israel came out, and at the end of Moses' life, who was Moses' right-hand man, not Aaron? Joshua. They go into that promise. Well, they didn't go in. God instructed them to send 12 spies in. They go in. They're gone 40 days. They come out with some of the harvest of the land. You remember I told you it took two men with staffs to carry one branch of grapes. I mean, I go to Walmart and I buy a little thing and it's like, how much is this? Oh, it's not quite a pound. Took two men to carry a branch. 10 of them said, we can't take the land. Don't fool with it. Why is that? They're giants in the land. So they show up again after the flood, right? They're giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb and Joshua like, no problem. The Lord will clean them out. He'll take care of them. But majority rules and on. My point is the return of the giants. Do you know where the giants inhabited? All of the land that was promised to Abraham and his seed. When they went in there, you'll see tribes, and we'll go over it next week. You'll see the tribes of the giants. And they're littered through the main place is the plains of Jordan, where you have mountainous regions on both sides, and it goes into the plains, and there's the Jordan River. And all along the plains were the giants. They weren't singularly there, but that was the main area of the giants. It was the Valley of the Giants, ho, 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 green giant. Just think about that when you go buy a green giant next time. Where do you think they get this stuff from, man? So the land is filled up. So eat your corn happily. So anyhow, they're all in the land. Where did Lot move to? The plain of Jordan. He was headed there, man. He was headed there. So you had the giants all in that area. What are the giants? They are descendants. Not descendants, but I guess generationally they would all. But where did they come from? The angels with man producing. And they continued on. What I'm telling you is when those angels came to Lot, they were already well-versed in having sex with strange flesh. And you can go back there and you can read about it in the law where the Lord said that you're not to fool with the strange flesh. Paraphrasing, obviously. It's not the flesh of man. Why? How many types of flesh is there for man?
One.
There's a reason why this is strange. And by the way, could some of those sons of God that fell, could they be women?
No.
How do you know?
Because it says so.
What? Where?
Well, where we just read in Genesis 6.
Women could be giants.
Well, what did it say?
Yeah, they were men.
But could there have been any women?
No.
Why? How do you know? Let me ask you something. How do you know God in His creation didn't create angelic male and female angels? How do you know God did not create male and female angels? Don't tell me you're secondary. How do you know that?
Well, in Matthew it said they will be talking about them that they would not marry like the angels.
Okay, well, we're not talking about marriage.
Well, in the respect that...
He didn't have any trouble when he saw Adam lonely. He knew exactly what to make for him, right? So it's not foreign for God to make a woman, make the female, okay? Just think about that.
But each angel is created individually.
Okay. Like the cookie machine.
And he created them. He didn't have them multiply from one another.
Okay. Thank you for that. But what if he created them one at a time and he said, this is male, this is female? Why?
Because the Bible does say somewhere.
Okay, I'm just throwing it. Let me ask you this. Genesis 6, the sons of God. Isn't that what it said? The sons of God saw the daughter of men that they were fair and they took them. Job chapter 1, the devil and the sons of God go to present themselves before the Lord. But what if they were women?
And they would say daughters of God.
Why? Okay, well, that's good. Let me ask you something. You trust on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day. Are your sins forgiven?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you a child of God?
Yes.
Ladies?
Yes.
Are you
part...
Are you part of the family of God?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm just saying. Look, let me tell you something before we read this. I am not doing anything to try to set anybody up. Let them step forward, trip them up, and make sport of them in front of everybody. That's not my point. I'm trying to get you integrated into this thought process where your minds are working. I put too many people to sleep, so I want to do the opposite here, okay? So that's the questions. That's what I'm trying to gear you with. What if God made the angels both male and female? Nobody gave me a verse showing that they're just males, by the way. That's kind of what I was looking for. Now, you women that are saved, you want to see you as a created creature in Christ Jesus? Wasn't the angels created by God?
Right.
Okay. Romans chapter 8. The first verse will get you. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what?
Sons of God.
Yeah. Okay, sons of God. 8. The first verse we read will get you is what I meant. Verse 19 of Romans 8. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the what? Ladies, you know what you're called? You're called the sons of God. So how could you not have sons of God angelic form? That could have been women. Strange flesh. Strange women. In the idolatrous worship, you had Baal, who was all male. His emblem is the bull. But wait a minute. You had Ashtaroth, the queen of heaven, the star. Where'd that come from? You had some female input somehow, some way. You're called a son of God being a female in the body of Christ. It's not a put down, it's a very good compliment. That's your identity. That's all you got, right?
Well, that's all I got.
And you know why he wrote that? Because there was a separation in the body then, in Galatians. So he didn't want it separated. So he says, whether you're bond or free, male or female, Jew or Gentile, You're all one in the body. Well, that all one, you know what it makes up? The sons of God. I'm just telling you, folks. Now, let's run some record here. Turn back. Hang on. We're about to wrap it up, and then y'all can go and talk about me later. Y'all get on the phone. You can text. You can email. You can get together. And hey, stupid, I'll never go back to his class again. Just tell me before next Wednesday so I don't have to prepare all this.
I'll be here.
Well, I need a little bit more than one. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says where 30 or more gathered, I'll be there. I stand by the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see here. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. I just love eating donuts. Y'all remember that? Isaiah, Jeremiah, I just love eating donuts. Jeremiah 23. Look in verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, and in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Y'all with me?
Yep.
Okay. Wherefore, their way shall be turned, verse 12. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. In other words, the priest, the prophets of Israel had turned to idolatry, and they were likened by God as Sodom and Gomorrah, and he labels it as wickedness. Isn't that interesting? Look in Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Y'all there?
I'm sorry,
where? Yeah, Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Give y'all just a second. And we're going to see, we're revisiting this. We already read it. But remember, God saw with the prophets of the men of Israel, he likened them. They caused Israel to err. Why? They're preaching and prophesying in the name of Baal. And so they were involved in idolatry, and he said, this is wickedness. Now, in Genesis 13, verse 13, where Lot went, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, what made them wicked? Idolatry. Look at, well, we read Genesis 5. Let's go. We're real close there. Let's go there. We're about to wrap up. All right, after the sons of God saw the daughter of men and they reproduced and they had giants in the earth in those days, let's see what the end result was by God Almighty. Verse 5, Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the what? Y'all not there?
Wicked.
Y'all need coffee or what?
Wicked.
Okay. And God saw that the what?
Wickedness of man.
Okay. Woo. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Jeremiah, they were involved in idolatry. It was wickedness. Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's wicked. Wickedness also in Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 6. It was wickedness at that time. Where does all this come from? It comes from the sons of God who are coming down to this earth and corrupting it through that reproductive process and bringing idolatry into the world. And so consequently, as God got rid of the wickedness by destroying the earth in Genesis 6, he did the same with Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot and his two daughters basically got out of there, and the wrath of God consumed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?
Wickedness.
Was there homosexuality? You betcha. Where did that come from? There's a root to everything here. Where does that come from? Idolatry. Everybody, all you fundamentalist preachers are going to all say he destroyed it because of homosexuality. That's not the case. He destroyed it because of the idolatry, and idolatry leads to homosexuality, but they were having sex with strange flesh, and the morality of man broke down to that degree, and the only conclusion that God could do is wipe it out. They wouldn't believe Lot. The two sons-in-law didn't believe Lot. He said, God's going to destroy this place. Let's get out of here. And they said, they accounted him as one that mocked. What was going on at that time? They were all mocking God in Sodom and Gomorrah, making fun of him. So he wiped them out. Wickedness, always tied to idolatry in the sons of God. With that said, go to Zechariah. Two before Matthew. You'll have Zechariah, you'll have Malachi, then you'll have Matthew. Zechariah. Chapter 5, verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. What he sees is throughout the earth at that time. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a what?
Woman.
There's a woman in there that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is, say it,
wickedness.
Say it.
Wickedness.
It's wickedness. What is wickedness? It's all tied up to the fallen angels. Every bit of it. And in this scene, you've got this craft, metallic. Zechariah said it's lead. I mean, maybe that's all he knew. But it tells us it's metallic. And it's sitting there, hovering there. And there's a woman in it. Strange flesh. Strange women. Strange incense. Strange fire, strange gods. This is their semblance. And it goes, and it lands in Babylon, where there's some kind of home base over there. And guess who comes out of Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar. And guess what Nebuchadnezzar has set up? It makes Israel worship. Wickedness. It has to do with idolatry. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their idolatrous practice of the strange flesh that they were commingling with. And it broke down to a point where the homosexuality was in play because the whole moral structure broke down. Next week, what we're going to go into is a transition of where are they now? Why can't we go out and see these Johns? And it's not the NBA, by the way. Just saying, they're big, but they ain't 9 and 10 foot tall. They're big boys. We're also going to see something very, and I was supposed to do it today. I've gone an hour, can't do it. But we're going to see something really, really strange with the descendants of Lot. It's going to blow your mind. So be back here next week, same bat station, same bat channel.
Mark, I used to wonder, like, whenever they have the Giants, how come it normally happen in
They took.
But if it's a female angel, she can have a giant, right?
I don't know about that.